Mercury pollution has been an issue in the Great Lakes probably since the dawn of the Industrial Revolution, be my guess. And research shows that mercury levels in the Great Lakes have generally gone down. The mercury levels in wildlife in some species have actually increased, and gone down in others, but increased in some. Take a look at why that's the case, and just take a look at the general condition of mercury in our Wisconsin waters with Jim Weiner. Jim's a Wisconsin Distinguished Professor at the Rivers Study Center at the University of Wisconsin, La Crosse. He served on many advisory panels that provide guidance to government agencies on issues related to water quality and water pollution. Certainly, UW-La Crosse has done some world-class research in this area, and people look to the UW-La Crosse and Jim Weiner, among others, for guidance. And we want to hear from you. Are you concerned about mercury in Wisconsin's waterways? Has that concern over mercury changed the way maybe you catch or consume fish? I hope you'll let us know. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can leave a comment on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We certainly love to hear from you. And Jim Weiner, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really a pleasure to have you with us.
Yes, and I'm pleased to be here. Thank you for inviting my participation.
How serious a concern is mercury pollution in our water today?
I think it's a serious concern. It's something that we've learned an awful lot about in the past several decades. Our tools for studying mercury and quantifying mercury and different species of this toxic metal have improved markedly since the 1990s, and we're learning a lot. Part of that learning process is that there are certain risk groups, such as wildlife, that are more sensitive to mercury exposure than we previously thought. So while the levels are going down in, say, fish and sediments that are being deposited into our lake bottoms, we're also finding that there are some impacts on organisms, particularly reproductive impacts, that are occurring at low levels of dietary exposure for things like common loons and predatory fish that are out there eating smaller prey fish. So this is a really, I think it's still a fairly young area of scientific investigation. And quite frankly, within the last 20 years, there have been a number of discoveries, which I would describe as landmark discoveries, that have altered our thinking about the mercury problem in regional and global ways. So we still have much to learn.
Well, is the situation, you think the situation is worse than it was 30 years ago, or are we just better at kind of locating and finding it and finding, other issues that we didn't realize earlier?
Oh, I think the situation has improved substantially, but the work that we have done indicates that mercury levels in our food webs in many cases are still too high. We need to work on lowering the mercury concentrations to protect wildlife, to protect humans who eat fish. So we've got more work to do. We're moving in the right direction. There are some other concerns, concerns about other sources of mercury. For example, China, in their economic development program, is building coal-fired power plants and has become a major emitter of what we call human or anthropogenic mercury to the atmosphere. We need to work with people in China and elsewhere and collaborate to, transfer information and help them get on board the effort to try and reduce this problem.
Yeah, because once it's in the air, it's not going to land just in China.
No.
I mean, we don't want it there either, but it could make its way to the United States too, I would expect.
It could, and it doesn't necessarily have to get to the United States to cause problems. For example, in the Pacific Ocean, the near-surface waters and the upper water column of the Pacific, mercury concentrations since 2000 have increased significantly. That's important because we harvest fish stocks, such as tuna, from those water, and what that means is there's more mercury in the form of methylmercury entering the base of the food web and ultimately finding its way into seafood that are harvested and provided commercially in this country and elsewhere.
Where does, you talked about China as a source for pollution, mercury pollution, and I know it goes all the way back to the sort of the beginning of the industrial you know, the industrial age, I guess we could say. But what about where is it coming from now primarily, other than, you know, you're talking about China? Where are we getting mercury pollution from?
Well, you know, there's still what we call primary emissions or new mercury that's being emitted into the atmosphere. If we look at based on a recent modeling study by a group of investigators with Harvard University and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, if we look at the mercury that's in the atmosphere depositing now, this is based on a global estimate, about 60% of that mercury is from what we call legacy sources, or it's mercury that's being re-emitted to the atmosphere. Mercury can exist in gaseous forms, and so it's very hard to contain once it's out into the environment. About 27% of the mercury in the atmosphere is what we call primary emissions or new emissions coming from sources such as coal-burning power plants. And about 13% is from natural sources, and there are natural sources of mercury in rocks and ores that contain cinnabar, metacinnabar forms of mercury that occur in the Earth's crust.
It's interesting to me, and I'm kind of a source of pride that here at the UW-La Crosse, we've got a kind of a world-class group. You're a Wisconsin Distinguished Professor at the River Studies Center at UW-La Crosse. How did it happen to land there?
Well, that's an interesting story. Actually, we started doing work when I was a young biologist, fishery research biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And one of the things I did, I came to La Crosse, Wisconsin as leader of a field research station and immediately looked around town to see who was here and who the potential collaborators were. And I met with Ron Rotta and Tom Claflin, who were then the co-directors of the River Studies Center. And mercury was something that was on our radar screen as a problem. We did initial work in the early 1980s on the Wisconsin River. And I was also involved at that time in studies related to the effects of acid rain on Wisconsin's water bodies and fishery resources. One of the things we suspected was that acid rain could worsen a problem with mercury. What we really didn't realize was the importance of the atmospheric transport and deposition to the overall mercury problem. We really still, in many ways, thought that the serious problem was end of the pipe kind of industrial pollution. Mm-hmm. But what we found is lakes in Wisconsin's Northwoods, in Langlade, Vilas, and Lincoln counties and Oneida counties had high mercury levels in fish. It was astonishing because we were using fish from those waters, which lacked direct industrial sources as reference areas. And we were amazed to find that some of the lakes had fish with higher mercury levels than, say, walleye from the Wisconsin River. So this is one of those big surprises that that keep on coming in this area of work.
And kept you going and kept you working in that particular area. It's just amazing. Bud Nwassa has a question for you or a comment. Bud, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah, you've got a great program. I've been a fisherman all my life, and I know that many of the smaller lakes in the state are polluted with mercury. But a friend, a couple years ago, a young fellow, he was in his late 20s, working on construction, strong as a horse, was suffering like flu-like symptoms for the longest time, and he ran a couple different doctors, and nobody could diagnose the problem. Finally, one of his doctors, through talking to him about his lifestyle, found out that he had gone to Lake Michigan with a guide or an outfitter over there, caught a bunch of these game fish, salmon and lake trout, and had them smoked and was eating that in his lunch every day on the job. He carried his lunch, of course, and so the doctor said, well, goodness me, you know, those are polluted. You got to only eat about one meal a week. And so he gave me some. But there's the story. Those game fish are polluted with mercury, and if you eat too much of it, you're going to fall ill. Same thing happened when I lived for 10 years on Lake Nokomis up north in the state. I usually just catch sunfish with my poppers in the spring when they're spawning, but my grandson came, caught a bunch of walleye and northern, put them in the live box and left them for me, and I am a big fish eater. And twice I ate big meals of those fish, and the room would actually spin.
Wow. The room would actually spin. Jim Weiner, comment from you?
Yeah. We encourage people to eat fish. The key is to find sources of fish that have low levels of contaminants, and those that include mercury. And also for Lake Michigan, could be a problem there with polychlorinated biphenyls or PCBs in the fish, especially a fish like a salmon or lake trout with at higher trophic levels. There's a really good group here in the Wisconsin Department of Health, Linda Knobloch, Henry Anderson. That's a world-class group sitting right there in Madison. And they have done assessments of methylmercury exposure in Wisconsin, and they do find that men and women who are eating fish from sport fish from our lakes often contain higher mercury levels in hair, which is a good indicator for mercury exposure. Higher mercury levels than are desirable, and so it is a health issue. There have been also a number of published case studies by that same group where they've looked at people who have documented methylmercury exposure problems resulting in lack of coordination and other sublethal effects, effects that basically went away once mercury levels in the blood went down and consumption of fish was reduced. But I think there were 5 of 7 case studies published in Wisconsin that involved eating local fish, walleye and or northern pike, as well as panfish. And there were also some case studies involving commercial fish bought off the shelf. So we have to take care in terms of, you know, how much fish we eat, what species we eat, where did those fish come from. And with regards to both our canned seafood as well as our sport fish in the state.
Fresh caught, yeah. Jim Weiner, Wisconsin Distinguished Professor at the Rivers Studies Center at UW-La Crosse, talking with him today about mercury in our Wisconsin waters. Is that a concern from you? Have you some experiences relating to it or questions or concerns? I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. You can post right there. Jim Weiner will be with us right up until 12:30. Take a look at the news, then we'll be right back. So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here taking a look at mercury in our Wisconsin waters right now with Jim Weiner. Jim's a Wisconsin Distinguished Professor at the River Studies Center at UW-La Crosse. Great to have him along. Thank you so much for listening in. I hope you'll join in with your own questions. Are you concerned about mercury in our waters? What questions or concerns do you have? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And tell you what, Jim, we have several callers online. I'm just going to go right straight to the phones here. And Dave in Reedstown, been waiting a while. Dave, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks a lot, Larry. I would like to make the comment that until we get money out of politics and special interest money and universities. We are never going to solve this problem. The year is 2013, if I'm not mistaken right now. Mm-hmm. We've known what these problems are for decades. I can't believe the professor there that would kind of intimate that we still need more and more and more research. We know what the problem is, and we know where it's coming from. But the polluters are influencing our politicians with their money and campaigns, and just like drunk driving laws are the weakest in the nation here in Wisconsin, and that's because the restaurant league, the tavern league, are corrupting our laws. So let's start getting money out of politics, and maybe then we'll stop spinning our wheels and we can actually make some progress.
All right. Dave, thank you for calling. Jim, a comment.
I'm not a proponent of simply doing research for the sake of research. There are a lot of unanswered questions that I think are very important from the standpoint of influencing policy and guiding policy in the right direction. It is very clear, as the caller indicated, that we need to reduce emissions of mercury. One of the things that I think would be helpful and an example would be to do work that is linked to assessing the effectiveness of approaches taken to mitigate the mercury pollution problem. How do mercury levels in fish, for example, respond to reductions in emissions? There's going to be significant reductions in emissions of new mercury in this country as a result of the mercury and air toxic standards, which should reduce mercury emissions from coal-burning power plants down by a factor of maybe 90%. And that's very welcome news. It would be good to know, I think, from the standpoint of providing advice on fish consumption, it would be good to know how lakes are reacting, how the fish are reacting in terms of declining levels of mercury. We invest a lot of money in monitoring mercury or surveillance of mercury in fish to provide fish consumption advice. If we had that kind of response information to mitigation measures, I think it would be very useful in terms of putting our arms around this problem from the standpoint of continued advice to consumers of fishery resources.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of our, I think we talked about this a little bit, but I want to go back to it again. One of our reports suggests mercury levels in the environment have declined, as you said, but concentrations of mercury in some fish and birds have increased in some areas?
Yes, yes. This is something that's been observed in the Great Lakes region, defined as the eight Great Lakes states, or I should say in parts of the Great Lakes region. It's been observed in Minnesota, in Ontario, in Lake Erie, I believe, and then in eastern or maritime Canada, in Nova Scotia, as well as lakes in northern Sweden. And what is very interesting is that these upticks, or what we call trend reversals, you know, you have a series of decades where concentrations are declining and suddenly they start increasing. They seem to be fairly synchronous. We don't really know what's causing them. It's clear that some of those reversals are occurring even though mercury levels in deposition have not increased. One of the causal factors may be climate change. With warming of lake waters, we would expect microbial activity, which is a very big part of this problem. There are microbes in the lake bottoms and in our wetlands that convert inorganic mercury that's coming in from the sky in deposition to methylmercury. Methylmercury is the form that gets into food webs and finds its way into fish and wildlife and in, accordingly into the human diet. Mm. So it may be that changing climate is basically increasing the tendency for mercury that's in our lake bottoms and in our watersheds to be methylated and create a problem.
Okay.
So, and that's an area where work needs to be done. We need to get our arms around that question to understand it more fully, to see what, if anything, we can do. And clearly, anything that we can do to reduce the amount of mercury cycling through our ecosystems will help.
Joanne in Jacksonport, thanks a bunch for waiting. What's on your mind?
Oh, I have two questions. We know that mercury, as you mentioned, is in ore, and rocks, does the mining process do anything that would release that into the air? And my other question is, what happens to the communities that draw the Lake Michigan water out for their drinking water? Does that involve, I would think that would involve consumption of mercury by the people who have that.
All right. A couple of good questions there. Jim, response?
Yeah, those are excellent questions. I would first tackle the question about drinking water, and that is that it's very, very well known that the primary source, when we talk about mercury and human health in this country and in Wisconsin, we're really talking about methylmercury. And the primary source of methylmercury is from consumption of fish and seafood. Those are can be locally caught fish or commercial seafood that we get off the shelf. Water contains extremely low concentrations of mercury, whether it's inorganic mercury or this highly toxic methyl form. You simply can't drink enough water to create a health problem based on methylmercury intake from water consumption. So the concern there for humans is really fish. As far as mining release of mercury into air, we're very fortunate in our area that we do not have substantial what we would call natural or geologic sources of mercury in our parent bedrock and in our soils. We do find mercury in surface soils, in forests, for example, but that is mercury that's been deposited from the atmosphere. So I don't think, you know, there are areas where there's abundant mercury in ores and there's substantial what we call degassing or release of mercury vapor from those ores. But that, I don't think, is a problem here in Wisconsin.
Thank you, Joanne, for calling. Lynn in Lake Geneva, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have a question. Lately in the news, I've heard stories that grocery stores and restaurants are selling fish that is not as advertised. That is, it's a different species. It could be from a different place. How can the consumer, other than going out and catching their own fish, protect themselves and know exactly what it is they are buying? And is there going to be any kind of oversight of these problems?
Well, I can't speak to the question of oversight since that's not what I do, and I'm not really familiar with it. But I do know that particularly where restaurants are concerned, there's been an awful lot of mislabeling of what people are actually getting when they place an order for, say, a seafood dinner. I think it's gotten better, and the American Fisheries Society has actually done some studies on that. And it has improved substantially, I think, in the last 20 or so years. But there are still cases where people are not being served what they thought they'd ordered in restaurants.
Thanks for calling. Sarah from Palmyra is a breastfeeding mom, knows that there are a lot of restrictions surrounding mercury when you're pregnant, hearing mixed information about what to do after the baby's born. Should I be concerned about consuming fish from Wisconsin lakes while I'm breastfeeding?
Well, I would say, you know, it's known that breast milk can be one way of transmitting methylmercury from the mother to the child, to the infant or baby. And I think there what you need to do is use the advice that the state of Wisconsin has provided. They provide statewide advisory for all of the inland waters in the state, as well as additional advice for water bodies or areas that have high levels of mercury or PCBs in the fish. And they have a very excellent informational resource available online, Choose Wisely, a health guide for eating fish in Wisconsin. And if you don't feel that you're getting satisfaction in terms of addressing the specific question you have, I would strongly encourage you to contact one of our very fine environmental health professionals in the state's Department of Health, and that, for example, Henry Anderson. Dr. Henry Anderson is a world authority on the issue of methylmercury exposure and health effects, and I think he could certainly provide you with some very good counsel on your question.
Thanks. Dale in Eau Claire, thank you for calling. Hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question. You kind of answered it with the previous caller there. But another question I have, as a fisherman, I catch a fish. Is there a way I could physically look and see or how to know if that fish has mercury or not?
Yeah.
I would say that what you should do is first thing, my first question would be, what lakes are you fishing in? And the state of Wisconsin on their fish consumption document on Choose Wisely, a health guide, lists a number of lakes and water bodies that have known problems with high mercury levels in fish. The other thing is that, you know, you can look at fish and know that at least from a given water body, there are a number of factors that affect the mercury levels in the fish. The mercury levels are highest in game fish that are on top of the food web, predatory game fish like walleye, northern pike,
muskie.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Muskie, yes. The smaller fish, mercury levels in fish increase as the fish ages or grows. Mm-hmm. And so smaller fish have much lower mercury concentrations often than the large old fish. You can also go to fish species such as bluegills that are lower on the food web. Whitefish, which are available commercially from gill netters, are another example of a low mercury species. But they've got small mouths. They're not predatory largely on other fish. They're eating invertebrates. And being lower in the food web means they've got less mercury concentrations, lower mercury concentrations in their tissues. So, yes, I think, you know, there are a number of common sense things you can do. One of the guidelines I would provide for folks is to eat small fish from large lakes. Small lakes tend to have much higher mercury levels than large lakes for a number of reasons, one of which is that they are warmer. Eat fish from lower levels of the food chain, such as fish that have small mouths. You can look at a fish, and you can pretty much tell, even if you didn't know the biology of these things, whether it's eating other fish or eating other organisms such as aquatic insects.
Yeah, it's good, makes good sense. You mentioned large lakes. That reminded me of the Great Lakes. And what's the mercury pollution situation with our Great Lakes? What's it doing there?
Well, there is information from the Great Lakes. And one of the things that's very clear is that, you know, there was a lot of industry located on the shorelines of these lakes. And industry that was using mercury and discharging mercury directly into these water bodies. That kind of pollution problem has largely been addressed in the United States and in Canada. And what we've seen is, if you look at the lake sediments as kind of a chronometer of mercury pollution in lakes, you see that the newer sediments that are being deposited have much less mercury than older sediments from, say, the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. So there is a case where, we're seeing a very positive response to measures that were taken to reduce discharges of mercury into our surface waters.
Julia in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. Thank you very much for this very interesting program. I have a question. I don't know if the professor can answer it, but I'm concerned about mercury in my cat's food. There's a lot of ocean fish in it, you know, tuna and so forth. And is there anything that's encouraging that he can say about that?
Well, that one's a bit out of my reach, Julia. I know that there's a certain amount of labeling done for pet food. I don't know that mercury enters into that labeling at all. I wouldn't advise providing much tuna to a cat, because of mercury and possibly other nutritional factors. But, good question.
As far as we can go with that one. Thank you, Julia, for calling. Sarah and Zion, thanks for calling. Hi.
Wow, hi, thank you. The car ferry dumps a lot of coal ash. I can't remember how much exactly every year, but they keep getting extensions. And I read that if it was, so far it's been enough to coat the entire floor of Lake Michigan with 3 feet of coal ash. And I know that contains mercury, and I wonder, like, how significant a source is that for mercury pollution? And then I also wonder if you know what the – there's a BP refinery on the shores of Lake Michigan in Indiana, and I think they just got permission to increase what they're dumping into Lake Michigan, and I wonder what pollutants are in that.
I am not familiar with the BP refinery issue and cannot address that question. The coal ash, you know, coal ash does contain a number of potentially toxic metals, not only mercury. So, and I'm not familiar with the dumping of coal ash into Lake Michigan. The number you gave me sounds like a very large number. But, coal ash is a potential environmental problem, not just because of mercury, but also because of selenium. A good question.
Sarah, thanks. Tom in Appleton, thank you for calling. Hi.
Thanks. Yeah, I missed most of the show, but somebody was asking about the mine, I believe the taconite proposed mine. And my question is kind of tacked along with that, in that that mine, if it goes forward, would require enormous amounts of electricity. The electricity, as far as I'm aware, would come from a power plant in Ashland that is coal-fired. So that, I guess I'm making the point that mine would increase mercury levels, whether or not the rock strata itself is full of mercury.
Due to the coal plant itself. Okay, comment from that, Jim?
Well, as a result of the mercury and air toxic standards, I think the good news is that, that plant should be fitted with mercury pollution control and devices that would reduce the emissions by about 90% per unit of coal burned. So that's the good news. I think, you know, conservation is an important word that seems to have fallen out of our vocabulary when it comes to emissions of mercury and other things. And it's, so, you know, to what extent that, you know, is a significant elevation in coal combustion, I really couldn't identify that. But I think the news that I would share is simply the one that within, I think, a four-year time period, 3 to 4 year time period, this plant should be fitted with pollution control measures for mercury.
Yeah, I know. Greg in Milwaukee commented, emailed about sort of the similar thing, saying the Elm Road generating station in Oak Creek, even with best technology scrubbers, is still reported to emit about 60 pounds of mercury into the atmosphere every year. So the designs, the scrubbers and that are doing a lot better, but there still could be better.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that generating station or the pollution control equipment that they have online. I will say that 60 pounds of mercury is not a trivial amount of mercury.
Yeah.
We are, you know, looking at small lakes in Wisconsin that have elevated mercury levels in fish that, you know, that are receiving maybe the equivalent of the amount of mercury in a fever thermometer on an annual basis.
Wow.
You know, say small lakes in Vilas County. So it doesn't take a lot of mercury to create a problem, and we need to do our best to reduce emissions to the extent that technology and economy allows us to do so. One of the big problems is that if we look at the methylmercury levels in water, and they're very low, they're extremely low, and for that reason, they're very difficult to measure. But by the time that methylmercury biomagnifies up the food chain to something like a walleye, the concentrations are in the fish flesh are increased by a factor of, say, 10 million to 50 million over those in water. And even in national parks in the Western Great Lakes region, we're seeing this pattern. And it's a universal pattern with methylmercury. It concentrates enormously as it moves up a food web.
In the last minute, what's your research addressing right now?
Right now, we're working largely with the National Park Service on mercury and some other bioaccumulative contaminants in six park units in the Western Great Lakes region, Indiana Dunes, Voyageurs National Park, Pictured Rocks in Michigan, Grand Portage in Minnesota, Sleeping Bear Dunes in Isle Royale out on Lake Michigan, that the Park Service, these are to a large extent parks where people can come catch fish and eat the fish. And it's important, I think, for the Park Service to understand whether they have a problem. And it turns out that they do in some of these parks. And so they can advise people regarding consumption of fish and hopefully take mitigating measures.
Yeah. Well, Jim, this has been a great talking with you today. I hope you'll have agreed to come back and be with us again. We'd love to talk to you again.
It would be a great pleasure.
Oh, Jim Wiener is a Wisconsin Distinguished Professor at the Rivers Study Center at UW-La Crosse. You want to take a look at some of the work that they're doing at UW-La Crosse, Jim and others, I hope you'll just go to my Facebook page, at the Larry Mueller Show. We've got some sources there, and you can just click on and link right to them. So appreciate his being with us. Rick Sini joins us tomorrow to take a look at traveling, air travel. That's one of the things for tomorrow. Stay with us. Lots in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.